Hello and welcome. Thank you all for joining us to the LOD podcast, where we chat about various things happening in the community. For more info about this and the other projects that we do, visit legendofdragoon.org. To anyone who has not completed Legend of Dragoon start to finish, this podcast is likely to contain spoilers, so it is recommended that you finish LOD's main story before listening to this series. A quick mention that this episode is crowdfunded. While never required, monthly and one-off donations help us to justify increased services and features for the fandom, such as the podcast you're listening to right now. Yay! To learn more, visit ko-fi.com/druniverse. And today will be a catch-up episode because we haven't done one of these in like 18 months, which is way too long, so today we're fixing that. We'll also do, we'll sprinkle in a dash of what's coming next as well. So, without further ado, let's do the introductions. My name is Drew Universe. As a volunteer community organizer, I help curate the fandom and contribute to various projects when I can. Recently, I've been creating more events through our YouTube channel and stuff, and I've been improving our website. And now for my guest host, Nova Dragoon.
Hello, my name is Nova Dragoon. You may call me Nova if you so choose. Drew invited me to be on this episode of the podcast because there is sort of an inside joke within the community that I am the most solid community member. I don't really know what that means, but I just kind of go with it. And I'm here, and you all have to deal with that.
Yes, we do. I think we'll look forward to that, though.
I hope so.
All right. So about the spoiler warning I wrote, part of me wants to rip that section out and reword it and just say spoiler alert, kind of almost in a shouty voice in the style of Garrett from Community, a TV show, because I recently saw that clip where he constantly says crisis alert during the like debate contest or something.
Yeah.
And that just sounds like fun. I want to do some. I want to get Garrett on the show.
We can certainly try. However, I feel like we're gonna have a lot of mic capping if we're screaming spoiler alert.
Yeah, maybe we'll just put it in like a YouTube video or something.
Oh, can you splice in audio of Garrett saying crisis alert?
Sure, I mean, I can do that in post-production, so why not?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm, because we're going to be adding, we're finally going to be adding intro music and outro music as well, thanks to fan musicians. That's going to be really awesome.
What is intro and outro music without Garrett from Community?
Intro and outro music. That's what it is.
All right, okay.
So before I ask you some questions, I wanted to point out that our usernames are kind of similar in how they're built. So I'm Drew, and I like the universe, so Drew Universe. You're Nova Scotian, and like Dragoon, so Nova Dragoon.
Yes.
So both our aliases kind of relate to who we are and what we like. It's just not every username is like that, I think.
No, that's fair. When I was coming up with this username, and I racked my brain over and over trying to figure out what to name myself, and I knew I wanted something to do with Legend of Dragoon, so I just kind of bounced back and forth. I was thinking of like, you know, like Maple Dragoon or something like that, and I just kind of pitter-pattered about in my cranium for a bit until I finally landed on Nova Dragoon, because I think Nova is just like a cool word.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general,
yeah. Because
you know, it's like it's Latin for new. It's just kind of neat,
and it's a word for stars that are that are doing the Nova thing. That's what I initially thought it was.
It becomes a super new.
Yeah, I thought you were saying like Nova Dragoon in terms of like star stuff, and I thought that was amazing. Yeah, that's what drew me in at first. Turns out there's a different meaning there. And if you had gone with Maple Dragoon, like, that would just add to the conspiracy we're going to be covering later in the show. it's a thing. So I have a couple questions for you. How did you discover Legend of Dragoon?
I feel like my story is very similar to a lot of stories that you hear within the community of people discovering Legend of Dragoon. It was the demo disc and I can't quite remember what else was on that demo disc. It wasn't mine, it was a friend's. But we probably played the demo of Legend of Dragoon upwards of 20 times easily. And yeah, we were just both enthralled with it. And then one day I was in one of the local malls with my aunt and I saw the Greatest Hits jewel case for Legend of Dragoon. And I was just like, it didn't ever occur to me. I was 8 years old. It did not occur to me that, you know, video games came out, if that makes any sense. So I saw it there. I saw this title that I recognized. And I was like, oh my God, I have to have this game. And basically begged her to get it for me. And then I played it and I got stuck on the Grand Jewel and I didn't finish the game until high school.
So you didn't know video games came out. I'm trying to think of what other way you might have imagined that. Like, did you think they grew on a divine tree?
Oh, sure. Why not, right? For all I knew, games just kind of popped into existence. I played one on a demo and it didn't ever occur to me that I should go look for this game. And I just saw it in the wild and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is a thing that is real. I should get this.
Today I learned games kind of have a sort of a mythical status to them, kind of like presents from Santa. Like, you don't really think about the process. You just know the presents are coming.
Yes.
Next question. What is your favorite part of the story, if you have one?
I probably should have read this beforehand. I'm a big fan of Disc 1 as a whole. It's got, you know, kind of the simple beginnings to it. The story hasn't quite gotten to, spoiler alert, you have to kill God. It hasn't gotten to that point yet. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not quite in the rescuing kittens from a tree phase, but you're not a divine superpower yet. You're just generally regular warriors trying to save your country. But it also, you know, you get sprinkles of what's to come, and especially on replays of the game, you pick up on a lot of stuff. So I'm going to go with Disc 1 as my favorite part of the story.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong part of the game. It just has really good pacing. It's kind of self-contained, and it starts out small, but still has little sprinkles in of the overarching lore that is to come later, and it just starts out as a mystery until then. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, as you, I think you alluded to a moment ago, for those who don't know, we have an inside joke about Nova being a solid community member. We could probably find that in chat history if we really wanted to, but I'm just going to ask you point blank, Nova, why are you so solid and how did it start?
Well, see, these are great questions, which I asked you, or I meant to ask you earlier, because I don't really know, and I am very much trying to not make jokes about it. So I'm gonna flip the script here. I'm gonna ask you why I'm such a solid community member.
Because that happened. I don't have a prepared response.
Well, great. Neither did I.
So from what I generally know, you have been around in the community for a while, and you've never really had any major points of contention in the community. You were never banned, unless it was jokingly once. I don't remember.
You've timed me out a couple times.
there was some fun there. But, you know, just a good example of what a general community member is, I guess. And that's really solid.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
I would give you more glow up, but I would need to write a speech first.
Fair enough.
And I already have this outline, which is my actual speech. Okay. So we're going to do a recap, a soft recap of things that have happened since the last podcast episode. This will not be all the things that happened. That's just not possible. But we'll cover some highlights of things in not too much of a chronological order. Some of it will not be in order. So, Nova, you have the first item.
I do, and I really should have done my homework, but I know just enough about this to talk about it. I guess a bit of an intro to this first point for anyone who might be new to the podcast. If you haven't watched or listened to episodes 1 to 4 yet, we have an in-house unofficial reverse engineered PC port of Legend of Dragoon called Severed Chains. And very recently, PC Gamer, the website, put out an article talking about it because there was a proof of concept, if you will. Drew put up a video of the game running at 4K and 60 FPS, which is pretty incredible for a PlayStation 1 game that is 24 years old.
Yeah,
and now that's pretty cool. Talk, please.
You want me to talk? But you know what happened?
I do. Yeah.
So it was just supposed to be a routine video because we've done it a few times before, just to mark Severed Chains' progress. We just record the intro to see how it currently looks and or sounds. And at first it had no sound, then it had sound, and then like the text boxes looked less crappy and things slowly got more into parity with retail, aka looking like the official game does.
Yeah, and that's parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y, not parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y.
Yes. Great for the clarification there.
Some people listening might not hear the difference, right? So
yeah, so you didn't do the homework of checking the outline, but you did do the homework of watching episode 1, where we literally titled it from one of Kara's lines, pronunciations may vary, and enunciations now may also vary. Is that going to be the episode title?
We can title it whatever we want. But yes, I have actually listened to the first 4 episodes. It's just been a while. Probably listened to episode 4 very shortly after it came out, and that would not have been long after I listened to the first 3.
Technically, that would have to be a lie because episode 4 wasn't posted until earlier today, I think. There was a technical issue when it first was recorded, and it just dropped off my radar, so it never got fixed.
I could have sworn I listened to all 4 episodes, but maybe I'm just lying.
I'd rather believe you're just that solid, that you make the impossible happen.
Maybe.
It wasn't available, but you heard it.
I heard it here, folks.
Oh, God. So the PC Gamer mention came up. We were just doing our regular next iteration of the intro sequence with Fairbrand chasing Dart, and this time it was in 60 frames per second. It looks really nice, and we were also, it was kind of a side thing, decided to also tack on a demo of the upscale in Severed Chains. Previously, the upscaled graphics mod was scheduled to come out for the Beetle emulator that's available through RetroArch. But it ended up having sluggish performance, so that got shifted to just being a mod for Severed Chains coming up soon. And so we're like, okay, we'll just show that too. It'll be native 4K, it'll be 60 FPS, and it'll also have the upscale. That's like a big, cool thing. But it was still just supposed to be a routine video. Like, I didn't do any like major edits. I just recorded the footage, and that was pretty much it. Like, most of the job of that video was the credit sequence, because there was some question about like how the credits were going to be formatted, and the Flying Zamboni just out of left field got mega formal with me about like platform credits and all these different kinds of credits. I don't remember the exact words, and I'm that thorough, but that was a plan for like the future, and I just needed to get something out because the video was late already. And so I ended up rushing like 3 or 4 hours into the middle of the night, the midnight oil, to create my vision for the fuller credits thing, the credit scroll at the end of our videos. And that was most of the work for the video, not the actual content. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, Monoxide, do more work.
So anyway, that comes out, and we tried to share it around, and PC Gamer must have seen it, someone there, or I don't know, someone saw it, and so they had someone contact me. Rich Stanton is apparently a senior editor, senior something, and was coming at me with, hey, we saw the thing. We'd like to cover your thing. Bad choice of words. Cover your article, cover your video, your Severed Chains thing. And sorry, my passion is going on in my head, so my language skills just instantly dropped. So that's the thing. I got butterflies in my stomach when I got the message. So internally, my brain is like I just said, just not functioning correctly. It's just like squeeing, like ah. But I managed to.
That has to be very, very kind of surreal, right? Like I'm the kind of person who gets starstruck very easy. Like if I meet a radio host, I'm like, oh my god, you're someone that everyone in the area knows. That's really cool. So I can only imagine what it would be like to be reached out to by a major publication to say, hey, this work you're doing, we want to tell people about it. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
I didn't have any like personal tie to or favoritism of PC Gamer. It was just the idea of the visibility that we could get for our community and everything. And I was like, ah! So I wasn't calm in my head, but in the typing of the letters, I just typed, yes, I'm Drew Universe. Hi, let's talk about it. acting like a regular person. So I assumed it would be like a several weeks kind of a turnaround. They're probably doing this stuff all the time, you know, getting articles out constantly, many articles a day. But it turned out that just after I answered the questions and mentioned that they should also talk about Monoxide a bit, because Severed Chains... within like 3 hours, the article was out, and I was like, wait a minute, it's out now. It's out today. What? So we all lost our minds for a little while, and it took us a few weeks to like recompose ourselves. It still kind of almost doesn't feel real because we've been trying to get, extra visibility through news outlets for decades. I mean, I've been, you know, trying to curate our fandom and get us all unified and have everything all organized so that we can have great stuff, but also look good. And I'm like, come on, take the bait. It's great content. We are worth talking about.
I have attached the carrot to the string and stuck it to your forehead. Just chase it.
It's free. It's a free, great article. Just write about it. So the idea is that, the fact that PC Gamer picked us up means that the first domino has fallen in terms of a major news outlet covering us, which means it'll be more likely and easier for us to get covered by major news outlets again in the future, especially as we do more community events, as Severed Chains gets better and better. It's going to be unavoidable. And through that, hopefully will be an unavoidable topic for Sony as well. So, that's the whole thing that happened. PC Gamer decided we were worth talking about, even if it was just real quick article, one of many in a single day. It gave us a huge visibility boost. Our YouTube video, that run-of-the-mill video that we did, nothing high production or anything, got up to 30,000-something views, which is, like, barely trending status. Like, I know several YouTubers who have videos with less than 30,000 views, so it's like, hey, we got on the map at least once. we managed to get through to the algorithm.
and it's very lucky for us as a community, because I mean, how many PlayStation 1 games will soon be natively running at 4K 60fps on PC that you can legally run? I have a feeling the answer is close to zero.
It depends on how many people are as crazy as people like Monoxide and I to try and reverse engineer or get their fandoms unified to try and organize such efforts. But it's really the best way forward, I think, because as great as emulation has been for us for decades, it has hard limits, and we're all getting older now as gamers, and we're going to, you know, want more replay value and whatnot. Reverse engineering not only lifts the limits of modding, but just core quality of life, and has the benefit of being a legal loophole, which fan games do not have that benefit. So this way you can have the project out in the open, which is pretty great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So on to our next topic, JP demo playthrough. So we found out that there were more than just the stats of the demo areas. When you play the demo, it's like the prairie and limestone cave or something like that. And you know, you fight the stuff. You fight the minor enemies.
You fight the stuff.
You fight the minor enemies, you fight your Obelisk or whatever, and you might notice that, like, the name of a piece of equipment is different, or that the Vampire Kiwi is a water element, or whatever it is. But it turns out that there's stats on the files of that demo. It has stats for, like, almost everything throughout the entire game. Like, there are stats for Melbuframa, there are stats for Kongo, there are stats for everybody.
There's stats for every edition, for every character, and some of them are wildly different from what they are in the retail release.
Madness Hero is a damage-based edition with, like, a 600% multiplier. It is out of this world.
in the demo stats, is that Dart's highest damage edition?
I think it ties with the Ultimate Edition, something like that.
Okay.
But all the multipliers are different. The SP is different. The unlock levels can be different. I think Rose gets one of her additions one level sooner or later. And the enemies all have different stats. They have the same ability pools, it seems like, but they can have different elements. Goofdus and Rodriguez were inverted. Like, Goofdus was wind and Rodriguez was dark. And Frugal was vulnerable to... fear status ailment. That was wild. I feared Frugal, and then I did like a crap ton of damage.
Yeah, big man ain't so tough, is he?
In terms of the difficulty, it's kind of just zany. It's not really on a linear scale. So, like, for difficulty, you have the original Japanese release, which is harder than the North American and European releases. And the JP demo is just kind of a mix of easy and really hard, depending on where you are and what you do. But eventually it felt like additions did way too much damage in general. So eventually it just got kind of easy.
Well, I mean, additions, even in retail, already do crazy amounts of damage.
Yeah. But it was fun kind of trying to see what would be different, because some things had different effects as well. So, for example, with the Pretty Hammer... instead of increasing your SP with additions, it was an insta-kill weapon. Mm. You could insta-kill someone with a Pretty Hammer, and I just find that hilarious.
Yeah, really memeifying some of the weapons and effects. I love it.
Another thing we did was the Winter Tidings video. That was just a little project I put together with Warm Witches Season's Greetings for people in the fandom. We set up, thanks to Icarus and possibly a few others, we set up like a custom scene in the snowfield. It was one of the regular backgrounds, but, we put like all the player characters in there, and I think Lloyd was there, and, some of them were like doing animations, and, we had the snow in the foreground, and I was just doing the little season's greeting speech, and we got several fans to record themselves saying happy holidays. And I layered all those together, so it sounded like a group of us saying it at the same time, which was really, really cool. And that was the video, but it had a little extra bit at the end where it showed a little bit further down in the snowfield towards Fort Magrad, where normally Maru picks up a little snowball and throws it at Dart, and he staggers back a little bit. So I decided I'm gonna do something different. I gave Maru a Frugal voice box, a voice changer, and I made it so that she instead throws a giant snowball similar to Frugal's boulder, and it says in Frugal's voice, "Eat this." So Maru threw a giant snowball at Dart, and it knocked him over right as the screen went black.
Yeah, I think we should replace one of her Dragoon spells with that.
Just Frugal imitation spell.
Yeah, I mean, it fits. It's a snowball. It'll work.
I'm just gonna design a whole mod called Eat This, and in various places, there's gonna be like other beings doing Frugal's thing. Like, you fight the mole. You fight the mole in the prairie or whatever. Yeah. The mole throws this little like mud blob at you, but we can change that to a giant mud boulder.
Yeah, yeah.
You
could take Mr. Bone. And then when he throws his bone at
it's a giant bone.
You'd be a very large bone. And then he says, "Eat this."
This is the power of severed chains, you see. You can't do this in emulation. You can't do this on the official releases on PS4 and 5.
This ain't your grandma's Legend of Dragoon.
There are literally grandmas who have passed it on to their kids or their kids' kids by now, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Someone mentioned in the Discord server that their grandma mentioned it to them, so I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, I think you've got the next one. Well, we're going to split this up.
Yeah, so we'll talk briefly about the evolution of Severed Change, which we've kind of already touched on a little bit, about how we're 2.1-ish stable builds in, with the third one coming out within the next month or two, which we've been saying for the last month or two.
Yeah, things slowed down temporarily.
Yeah. But I mean, it's fair. The people who work on this do it in their free time. They're not being paid to do it. So we have to respect them as people and their time.
They are actually people.
Believe it or not. Yeah, we've got that coming up. And the third stable build is going to have the 4K 60 FPS everywhere except for battle, which is going to be really cool.
Indeed. For those who don't know, Severed Chains started with a declaration by Monoxide. And it was December of 2020, and he just popped into the Discord and was like, "Hey, I'm going to reverse engineer this game. Okay, thanks, bye." And we were like, "LOL, sure you will," because it's not, we weren't too rude about it, but you know, being frank, reverse engineering isn't exactly, you know, commonplace yet. Emulation is still the main thing, if you will. And, you know, a lot of people, it's just a thing with humans where, like, you make a declaration that you plan to do something, and then, like, maybe after the first step, you just never touch it again, kind of a thing. It just happens, you know, it happens to me. But sometimes the follow through is just incredible. A little under 2 years later, in August of 2022, it started becoming playable, and we had this like slideshow of Rose slideshowing across the screen as this giant blob looking over at the Fairbrand. It was marvelous.
That sounds very intense. Unfortunately, I didn't join the server until. Actually, I joined the server in August of 2022, so it was probably very, very close.
Wow, that's a pretty solid time to join, wouldn't you say?
I'd say so, yeah.
There's a recurring theme here. We're going to quickly get to Sublime status soon.
Yeah, I'm not even entirely sure what that means. People say it. The Flying Zamboni calls me Sublime or tells me not to go Sublime all the time. I'm not really sure what that means, to be honest with you.
It's just like another state of matter, right?
Okay. Like a super solid?
Why don't you look it up after the show?
All right, sure.
So after that initial playable status, I talked to Monoxide about it, and we agreed to do a playthrough series on YouTube. That was when we first got our YouTube channel really rolling, and the idea was just to show Severed Chains as it got better and better, and sometimes it would crash, and Monoxide would have to like build a patch for me on the fly real fast to get past something that broke. And eventually sound effects were in and other things got in, and it slowly got more and more complete. And we got to our first recommended build. And then last year, I think it was July of last year, we got recommended build 2, which was almost every single feature was in except for like rumble and page up and down on the menus or something like that. And it became just too preferable. Like, it was hard to go back to emulation at that point, I think.
Yeah. When did music get added? Because I remember I started playing Severed Chains, and I played it for like 10 minutes, and then I immediately came to the Discord and I was like, why can I not hear the music? And the answer was, well, there isn't any yet. Yeah. but it was pretty soon after I asked that music was added in.
Yeah, I don't remember the date, unfortunately. I didn't do all of my homework, but it eventually got added. It was kind of later in development, and there were some bugs, but they were decided not to be worked on because Illapri came on board to help us build a new sound engine for it, using OpenAL, for anyone who knows what OpenAL is. And that's currently in the dev builds, which are not stable, and it sounds so much better. Like, Cyber Chains already has slightly better music quality, apart from its bugs. So now it's going to be even better, if I understand it right. There was actually a funny point where Illapri thought that he had reverb implemented, but it wasn't. And then suddenly we're like, oh yeah, yeah, you definitely did not have reverb. That was a whole thing. But yeah, so next update's going to be pretty amazing. The graphics overhaul, we're going to have the 4K 60fps everywhere except battle, native widescreen in the world map and battle. And that'll also mark us for upscale support. So the upscale, once RB3 is done, the upscale will be able to come out shortly after that.
That's awesome. I know people ask about the upscale all the time.
Oh, I forgot to mention that we recently tested some things. We have weekly dev streams almost every Wednesday. Whenever Monoxide is feeling up to it, he'll be working on something different, usually, than the usual work, as a nice change of pace, casual break, and exploring new things. And so, for example, we have tested Addy Select, so being able to choose your addition in battle. Say you want to do some SP stuff, but then you want to switch up to some damage-based stuff, you can do that. That'll be in a future build, but it's tested as functional, so that'll get in at some point. We have play as other characters. There was this whole like couple of dev streams where it was sort of about unlocking Lloyd as a playable character, making it not break the game. First, he just kind of replaced Miranda, which, I mean, we all would be fine with. It ended up getting expanded because Monoxide made it work so that Lloyd's armored model, the Wingly armor model with the Dragon Buster and everything, could walk around on the world map. But then it quickly just tangented into rabbit hole after rabbit hole of other characters, like walking around the world map as a Helena Warden. so you can roleplay chasing after Dart and company when they got out of Helena.
Listen, if those poor bastards end up in the snowfield, they're going to freeze.
Yeah, and so they also, what else was it? Pelpy. I was all over it when Pelpy was shown walking around the world map, because I would love to play like a side story where Pelpy and Dabas go on this like clumsy but funny as hell adventure, just trying to do stuff, trying to find treasures, fighting enemies.
Yeah, since Dabas does canonically fight a Viraj.
Yeah, as best I can tell, the final boss in the Moguru Dabas minigame on the Japanese Pocket Station only is a Viraj. It's hard to tell what a lot of them are because, like, I don't think there's any instruction manuals for any of the Pocket Station minigames. You just kind of have to figure out whatever they tell you, and it's like 32 by 32 pixels. Not a lot of detail to go off of there.
So we have to figure out who developed that Pocket Station game and interview them with a translator, because I'm assuming they only speak Japanese.
Yeah, that's probably what would need to happen. And I love that you were just like thinking of the thing that I already know I'm going to have to do at some point. Just find all the people that are going to be impossible to find and ask them the questions and hope with Snowball's chance in hell that they will actually answer.
Yeah, well, hey, if you make the snowball as big as the one that Meru threw, it'll last longer, so.
Sure, know. Let's go with that logic.
Well, it's a bigger snowball, so it takes longer to melt.
Hopefully their whatever element is weak to water and ice. I don't know.
You said a snowball's chance in hell, so.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, let's move on.
There should really be some TV shows that feature hell in a less stereotypical way. Like, it's not fire, maybe it's like an ice palace.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can think of one, but I don't want to spoil it because it's like the entire premise of one of the seasons. So we won't talk about that.
Oh. I was gonna guess the movie Frozen.
Oh, no, I haven't seen Frozen. No?
Okay. There's probably no relation to hell, but anyway, let's move on. Everything is fine. So after recommended build 3 in a month or two or whatever, We'll be recommended build 4 later this year. That'll be a focus on expanding the modding API, and that just means more types of mods will be possible to create. So what Monoxide is doing along with the other SC devs is, although some things are going to come with SC and we'll build a few things in-house, mostly what is being built in Promise is just the ability to create types of mods. Like, for example, enabling audio modding in the future so that people can submit their own audio mods that they make instead. So we won't be building everything ourselves in-house. This is also just for the modding community to make the content, as it were. And then we'll feature select ones.
So for my own information and our lovely viewers at home, what is kind of, and maybe this hasn't been asked before, I don't know, or maybe you haven't thought about it, what is kind of the upper limit on what we would be able to do with a modding API? Like, what kind of crazy mods do you imagine being made?
Considering that it would take time to invest, which Monoxide may or may not be up for doing certain things, but others can contribute to the core code, virtually nothing is off the table.
Very specific and ominous. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, well, the point is the sky is the limit. Right. It is that big of a difference. It just depends on how much time we can invest in the core experience to expand that API. Monoxide has definitely...
Yeah, so go ahead.
Monoxide has definitely been intending to be somewhat thorough, because from the get-go, like 2 years ago now, I was like, okay, so what kind of things do you think we can do? Is this easy or hard? Because I don't know what's easy or hard. I'm not a programmer. I can have a vague understanding, but I really couldn't guess on certain things. So I was like, how about PvP? And he was like, sure, we could do that. Just another casual add-on. And I was like, well, wait a minute, we can do that? And now suddenly we're doing that lately on the dev streams. By the way, if you're interested in PvP or co-op, we're starting to crack that kind of stuff open on the dev streams lately. So most Wednesdays, that's currently what we're working on. Wink, wink. the sky is theoretically the limit. We won't be hosting all the mods for download on our website. That's just not going to be feasible. But we'll have select ones available on the website, possibly ones that are like community built, like by multiple people as like a general service mod kind of a thing. But
kind of things that are like, this is a greenlit thing from the community to say, this is a good mod that isn't going to harm your computer or like flash you devil symbols when you pick up a Stardust or something.
Yeah, and it might be something almost everybody wants, but everything else, especially specific things, will have to run through a site like Nexus Mods or somewhere like that, and then people will have to seek those out themselves, but we can link to those hubs at least. Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of different, like, new characters, new additions for existing characters, modified additions, ability changes or new abilities for any character, enemy, ally, whatever, new stories, new cutscenes, new FMVs, just whatever exists in the game, there could be modified or more of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if someone wanted to put in the time and effort, they could theoretically build like a DLC for Legend of Dragoon if they so chose.
Well, I mean, technically any mod will be DLC.
Well, can you be more specific? But I mean, like, if someone were like, I'm going to take X number of months or years or whatever out of my life, and I'm going to create a mod for Legend of Dragoon that tells the story of Lloyd from when he meets Diaz to when he meets Diaz again.
Okay.
Like, fully playable, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like major mods, like expansions, if you will. Yeah, that's all possible, theoretically. It's just anything involving story stuff will be more complex. So be aware of that. You will need to know how to write code and all that good stuff.
Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We're hoping that, like, the more we build out these features and then show examples of them, like Lloyd being in the party and whatnot, that it'll attract lots more people to come and make their own stuff. So,
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
It's going to be pretty cool. Then after that, recommend a build 5 even later this year, which will be 60 FPS in battles. That requires its own release because it's extra work. It's like specifically a lot of work. So probably one whole build is going to be dedicated to 60 FPS in battles. So that'll be later this year, probably.
Well, to be fair, we thought build 3 was going to be last year, so.
Yeah, well, things happened.
Yes, things happened, and I expect things to keep happening.
Yeah, blame the Flying Zamboni for picking the worst time in the universe to move to a different house.
And for
Monoxide to have real-life work to do.
How dare he?
How dare... Priorities, y'all. Come on.
Doesn't he know that he has a community of dedicated followers that just want to play the game as pretty as possible?
Yeah, some of which send him money already.
Yeah, yeah. You should link. Should link his Ko-fi coffee, however you pronounce it. You should link his as well.
I'll put both of those in the Discord chat after this.
Yeah.
So next is the the storyline of the Canadian takeover as it relates to Legend of Dragoons. So Nova, you're gonna start us off for that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how weirdly lopsided it seems to be of how many community members are Canadian, and almost specifically Nova Scotian as well. That one doesn't come up quite as much, but Monoxide and I sometimes jeopardize the chats and you have to wag your finger at us and then we laugh. But it's very funny because, you know, Monoxide, the lead dev on Sever Chains, is Canadian. Zychronix is Canadian. Is Icarus Canadian as well? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I think he's in Europe.
Okay. But yeah, but some big key players. And then every now and then, you know, we'll be talking about being Canadian and we'll just start popping out of the woodworks like, hey, I'm Canadian. And it seems like most of the North American Legend of Dragoon fans are Canadian. It's quite the phenomenon.
I feel like more people show up for Canada than they do the Queen in UK.
Well, I mean, would they? I don't think they show up for the Queen anymore.
Yeah, there you go. There was some news about that last year, I think.
Sorry, UK.
So it was just some little random happenstance, you know, a couple of people from Canada, so what? You know, Canada is not the smallest place. Statistically speaking, it's normal. But it kept kind of happening. And even though most of our fan base is based in the United States, granted, we don't usually say where we're from, but like that also comes up once in a while. Just the Canada thing happens more often, it feels like. And so, it keeps getting weirder because, somebody mentioned to us, that they were, liking what we were doing and they linked back to one of their videos. I think I went to watch the video. It's them, talking on a couch, these two people, and in the background on their wall is these giant banners for the Montreal Canadiens sport team. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I love that you said Montreal Canadiens sports team and not, you know, the hockey team.
I was only 99% sure it was a hockey team. I was not 108% sure.
Oh, fair enough. You made a lot of Leafs fans very happy with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had to play it safe. I don't want to get anything wrong. So,
listen, no one's ever gotten mad at anyone for getting something wrong on the internet.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I totally haven't been on the internet since like the 90s, seeing that unfold constantly.
Never happened. It's all one big lie.
And so the latest evolution of this has been some articles recently covered a company called Implicit Conversions, revealing that they're the company who kind of on accident became a company that helps expand the PlayStation Classics catalog on PS4 and 5 for PlayStation. So PS1 games on PS4 and PS5, they've been rolling out like a couple every X number of days or months or whatever it is. And Legend of Dragoon, as we know, came out February of... What year was it? Was it 2023? Yeah.
It would have been 2023, yeah.
Yeah, that was only a year ago. God, I feel like... it feels like it was longer than a year ago. Wow.
It sort of does, yeah.
So but that...
I'm fairly certain it was just last year.
So we learned recently in those articles that... I think I saw it through Time Extension website... that it's Implicit Conversions who's doing this. And a lot of times you don't get to know who the company is that's doing it. Is it, you know, is it like, say, Sony or Microsoft doing it internally, or are they contracting a company to do it that's a separate company? But in this case, we got like some pretty interesting details. And so they did like an interview with the CEO, Robin Lavallee, I'm going to try and pronounce that right, who happens to be Canadian.
We're everywhere.
And I'm just trying to think in my head, okay, that's fine. It isn't wrong for people to happen to be Canadian sometimes. I know this. I'm an intelligent human being, but my but my brain is telling me we've got to figure this out. And it's like that gif of the guy with the wild hair looking at the cork board of all the different like conspiracy whatever, all the connections and all that. And so it turns out that they actually named their emulator, the emulator that the PS4 and 5 used to play PS1 games, they call it the Syrup Engine, because he really likes maple syrup.
it's quite the thread to connect. Be like, oh, I love this topping so much, I'm going to name an engine on it. But if we can put a pin in that for a second, one, you just said it's not wrong to be Canadian, which... great, good to know. Thank
you. I'm correct about that.
But also, did you say GIF?
I did. Are we going to go over this now?
We probably shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm going to unpin this, because I was going to say that if you had gone ahead with naming yourself Maple Dragoon, then that and the maple syrup and the maple engine thing would just have put me over the edge. I would have lost my sanity, finally. I wouldn't lose my sanity from curating the fandom for many, many years. And all the other things that have happened, all the discoveries I've made that made me like tilt my head and go, what? Why is this a thing? I can't believe we've learned this. No, it was the maple syrup.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you tame that insanity, then you can become a true dragoon.
For those who are interested, if you're on our Discord server, you can search chat history. I don't know how you can do a specific search for that specific conversation we've had, but... We've had a few conversations of significance where it was peaceful banter, but it was banter nonetheless, of GIF versus, I can't believe I'm going to pronounce it this way, GIF. It just feels so right wrong way to say. Ugh.
It's not a drastic interchange format, okay?
Look, the letter G has valid uses in both the hard G and the soft G. The word gorge literally has a hard and a soft G in it. And that's all the time we sure have for that subject on the show.
Fine. Okay, let's move on before I get irate.
Yes. Well, we can't agree about everything. We're here for Legend of Dragoon. Let's focus on that.
We can agree on Legend of Dragoon. It's true.
All right, so we finished that topic. Oh, you have the next one.
Yay, me. So we recently had a video go up on the YouTube channel as well, which is a compilation of fan-made music mixes, which I definitely didn't just listen to for the first time yesterday. it's all very, very beautiful stuff. And, you know, you got a different variety of stuff in there. Like, some is kind of somber, some is a little upbeat. And only one of them reminded me of RuneScape music.
Only one?
Only one.
God, there's whole channels devoted to recreating music in different sound fonts. Like, right. Someone did Legend of Dragoon music in like a Chrono Trigger sound font or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And it's you recognize the music, but it's in the it uses the musical instrument sounds of the other game or whatever.
Yes.
So now I'm wondering about like LED music in a RuneScape sound font, which would be absolutely amazing.
I think it was the Royal Castle theme, And it's just the way they plucked one of the instruments. It just it awakened some RuneScape memories. But if I can go on a slight tangent from this,
sure.
Is there any commercial music that you find reminds you or sounds a lot like something out of Legend of Dragoon?
I mean, not too specifically, because for me, it's hard to relate anything as sounding like Legend of Dragoon when, at the time of release, there weren't a lot of games that were trying to make a soundtrack that was, like, literally worldly. Sure, to some extent, like, you could listen to a few different tracks and say, okay, these both have similar sounds, they're both from LOD, but, like, they all of the town music and the dungeon music and the ambience and all of that, for me, it actually felt like those pieces of music could have been made by different people. I feel like that was perhaps an intentional or unintentional success on the musicians' part, Dennis yeah. Martin and Takeo Muratsu, who, you know, I've not always heard that in games. Usually when I play a game, I hear the different tracks and I'm like, yeah, this feels like it's part of an album, you know, it feels like it all is supposed to go together, and that's the point. But I liked that LOD felt kind of different, at least to me, where a lot of the tracks felt like they could have been from completely different musicians, different places, just like those are different places in Endiness with different cultures and different things that those people are used to doing.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because I was going to say the way the music is made and the way it sounds, it all sounds very cohesive to me. Sorry, cohesive. Yeah. To the point where, kind of counter to what you said, I feel like it could all be on an album, for example, and it sounds enough like itself to know that it's supposed to go together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the reason I asked my first question is because I do actually have a piece of music, and I've brought it up in the Discord server at least once. It's a piece by Steve Vai called "For the Love of God," mm-hmm. and something about the way he plays the guitar in that track, it's very reminiscent of some Legend of Dragoon music for me. So for anyone who hears this, go give that a listen and see what you think. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm going to change your life. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you changed my life. You're pretty solid. Nova can change your life.
Let's not make promises.
I just said can. Didn't say will. So you should post a link to that music in like the Pix and Vids channel or something.
The show. I'll try to remember to do that after.
I was going to say something else, but I forgot. Yeah, when
did you want to add on to the talking about the feelings mix, which is what the mix is called, that I didn't say, because I probably should have.
It was based on Valentine's Day a bit loosely. That was the timing that we had, and we decided on that theme. I've been wanting to do this for a while, because ever since I was a teenager, I knew of various remixes. Not a lot, you know, just a couple of the usual ones on YouTube from people like, what is it, The Speed, with like lots of E's in their name. I think there was a group called like the Dueling Dragons that did like an 11-minute medley, or maybe that was someone else, and FinTom. But eventually I would find more, and as an archivist, in the mid-2010s, I started making a whole list of remixes and covers and trying to catalog all of them that still existed on the internet. And even before then, though, I knew of a few, music events, not necessarily competitions. Sometimes they were competitions, but usually just these music events where someone would start an event and say, hey, let's do a thing, and it'll be based on X theme, or it'll be an open theme, just make whatever you want. Sometimes it would be restricted to a single song, and then every participant, every fan musician would do their take on one song. So you would get like, in our case, we had Rose's theme, and so Rose's theme got remixed like 6 or 7 times in one event, which is a huge spike, because
yeah, not really all cool.
You think about how often a remix gets made, that's a lot. And so I've always wanted us to have those kind of contests, like, in-house, just run those in our community, because it's, for me, hard to find those kind of music contests anymore. Like, you have OC Remix, but it's not quite the same for me. And we finally got enough fan musicians together to do it, and it just felt amazing. So even more so fitting calling it the Feelings Mix. And yeah, we've gotten some...
Go ahead. I was going to say, because when I first joined, I remember there was a couple art contests going on as well. So it's kind of cool that you could sort of evolve from something along the lines of physical art to something, I don't want to say more complex because that sells one of them short, something different, I guess I should say, because one isn't necessarily better than the other.
From art to music?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're putting together a collab that has to, like, flow between each track, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With art submissions, none of them have to do with each other. They don't have to relate to each other at all. Unless we're, like, telling each artist, okay, you build the left section of Fernie, and you build the right section of Fernie. You know,
or if you're probably, you know, maybe trying to say, like, imagine the peddler in Lohan as a dragoon. What would that person's dragoon form look like?
Yeah. We can
now do their theme music.
Yeah, now do the theme music. Yeah, we'll do a joint event with both art and music involved.
Yeah.
We'll do a mix and match, kind of like those Jackbox games.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, so I hope we do more of those in the future. We'll be touching on that a little bit in the future here as well of this show. We have, let's see, we're about 58 minutes in almost. We've got a little more time.
Who knew we like to talk?
We do like to talk. It's just usually in text, not voice. All right, so as far as recaps, there's only one thing left, two things left. There was recently what I called a web stream that was just me doing a live stream on our YouTube channel, which I was covering, like, hey, I'm going to put some concept art and promo images on the website. I'm going to dig through those and see what I've got. And then after that, put it on the website. That's currently in progress right now. It's looking pretty good, I think, but it's not quite ready to publish. And we'll steadily get that stuff out over time. So that was kind of a mix of archiving and web stuff. I've been wanting to make some more time to do streams. It's kind of hard to keep up with Monoxide doing, like, literally almost every Wednesday. And I'm like, you know, Severed Chains is a massive project, but it's also one project. You know what I mean? Like, I have the inverse experience of helping cover all of the projects and making sure they're getting volunteers when possible and doing all the parent level stuff. And streaming at the same time, it feels like a lot, but I felt really good about it, and I'm going to do some more of those so we can show more of, like, the process of what happens in our general community stuff, not just Severed Chains. So that's that's going to be pretty great. And then you have the last recap thing.
Yeah, so a group called Echo S did a bit of a voice acting mod for Severed Chains, doing some Legend of Dragoon work. They've worked on some Final Fantasy stuff, and they're apparently working on a big voiceover mod for Legend of Dragoon, and that'll be a mod for Severed Chains. And I think that'll be super cool, because you'll get to hear some of your favorite Legend of Dragoon lines, like, "You silly guy."
Yeah, I'm assuming they'll change some of those.
Ah, I think they should keep to the script.
Or, like, when Frugal is talking to Dart and he just says, "Then what? Tell me what happens next in the story, Frugal. I need to know. So I know what I'm supposed to do as a character." He is so oblivious, he doesn't even know.
Yeah, who needs to know?
I assume some of the quote-unquote charm will be kept, but they're going to be revising a lot of it. They want it to be a high production thing. I'm sure there'll be some humor in there as well. They've gotten some rave reviews from fans of Final Fantasy games who have tried out their Final Fantasy mods with the voiceover stuff, And that's been really touching. We don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but we'll see how Rec Builds 3 and 4 go. We'll see where it can fit in terms of which server chains build to support audio modding. But we know audio modding is going to be a thing because we're going to have it anyway, so people could do, like, just submit your own voice if you want to replace Dart or Hashel or Lavitz or for a new character or for one of the enemies. You know, if you think you can do a better Eat This voice than Frugal, I want to hear it. I want to hear your nastiest Eat This voice ever.
If you can do a better Gust of Wind dance than Albert, whew.
Yeah, this is a big question is, do you do it where you can't hear the D in Wind? Or where there's like an extra D with the ultimate enunciation. Because with Lavitz, you've got what sounds like Gust of Wind, W-I-N. And with Albert, it's Gust of Wind Danza.
But we all know the biggest one is going to be, oh, it cannot be.
And we really got to get more contractions in this game. Like, sometimes I don't use contractions, but contractions are a thing.
They sure are.
I know the game knows this. The developers know that it's possible because when you fight Dole, Emperor Dole, for the second time on the moon, spoiler alert, crisis alert.
It happened before the spoiler, you know.
Yes. So when his you attack him with Albert and his swords have HP and they can take damage and then get broken, he'll hold up his sword, it'll shine and break. And he goes, it can't be. So that's a contraction. I know LOD knows about contractions, but they just didn't want to give it to Rose.
There's another funky voice line, not a voice line, a text line in that fight. And I can't remember what it was, but I think there was like two words, like one word repeated in that fight as well. But I can't think of it right now, so I don't know why I brought it up.
I know there's improper spelling of... Rose saying, "Yeah, got to go for its weak spot." W-E-E versus Michael.
Yeah,
it's weak spot. Go to
the Valley of Corrupted Gravity. V-A-L-L-Y.
Yeah, Valley. Oh my God, there's so much. My favorite of those is in the hero competition because the English script got revised when it was released in Europe. Because, you know, UK, they do speak English as well, so they also got an English version.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, like, 99% of it's the same, but they edited some things. Like, every instance of the word bastard was replaced, because can't have the word bastard, apparently.
Of course.
But we had a mistake in the North American release, where if you lose to Surpheus... Yeah, lose to Surpheus. Every time you lose to one of the fighters, the game auto progresses you because you're forced to get second place, right?
Yeah.
And when you lose to Surpheus, the reason he loses anyway instead of you is that his illness has gotten worsen. In itself, that is already bad. His illness has gotten worsen.
Don't you hate when your illness gotten worsen?
I don't like it when my illness getting worsen. And so they edited this in the European release. They changed it from his illness has gotten worsen to his illness has got worsen.
Oh my God.
All you had to do was say gotten worse. We have words for this, gotten worse. It's fine. Just say gotten worse. It's all you need. But they had to invert it. Got worsen.
I seem to recall, I think it was the interview with Dart's voice actor. I think they said they did all the English VA in one day. Is that true?
Basically. I can't say that happened to everyone, but generally in those days, you would go in, read your lines, you might come in for a retake the next day, and that was it.
Yeah, so I'm curious if they did all the translation for this game in one day as well.
That's a lot of text.
Yeah, but it's not great.
Do you think someone really had like a 9-to-5 job and for that day they were translating the LOD script and they had...
Listen, throughout the day they gotten worsened, so...
I can't argue with that. Oh, God. Moving on to the next thing.
What's coming up in the future?
Well, before that, I have another little line. For those who haven't noticed, Nova Dragoon, to me, with very little effort, sounds a lot like Castiel from Supernatural. So I ask you the question, why do you sound like Castiel from Supernatural?
I have secretly been Misha Collins this whole time. Don't fact check me. It's just true.
It sounds like something Misha Collins would say.
As long as no one looks into it.
Well, we're going to look into it. We're going to look into it right now, you see, because we're going to have you read some lines.
Oh, God.
Surprise, everybody. It's not always Legend of Dragoon on the Legend of Dragoon podcast. Well, actually, you know what? This is related. Everything we do is automatically related. Everything.
Okay, so when we talk about Nova Scotia in general, it's on topic then, according to you, what you just said right now.
Yes, which means I won't issue consequences if you type what would seem like off topic in the on topic channel of the Discord server.
All right, it's been recorded.
All right, now you know one of the lines I want you to say, right?
Probably.
Okay, let's go with that line first.
see now I'm doing it on command, so I don't know if it'll actually come out right.
That sounds like something Castiel would say.
Hey, ass butt.
That's
my time,
point.
Everybody. I'm going home. Oh, wait, right. I'm already home.
How about my people skills are rusty?
My people skills are rusty.
Yeah. I could go on, but some of these aren't actually like safe for our community because we are a community that has some younger kids present, so we will not have you read those lines.
I can't remember Supernatural dropping that many F-bombs.
It was something about a pizza man.
Oh.
All right, just one more. One more. I'll interrogate the cat.
I'll interrogate the cat.
That was like 108% Castiel.
See, okay, it's. I hope it is because I'm not trying. I didn't prepare for this. You just said I sound like the guy.
Yeah. Imagine if Nova Dragoon actually tried.
God, how great my life would be if I actually tried.
You need to make you need to see if there's Supernatural conventions and if Misha still goes to them, because you need to just show up and just say stuff.
I'll be sure to buy a trench coat. Actually, I might still have a long coat. I did a sort of cosplay of Sirius Black when he was in prison a couple years ago. I might still have that coat. It's not quite the right aesthetic, but it's close. It's adjacent.
Okay. This is not a quote request, technically.
Okay.
Could I pay you to regularly show up on voice just because?
Yes.
Okay, great, because we're doing that. 10% of my Ko-fi budget is now going to Nova Dragoon coming on to live streams and stuff and just saying things so I can imagine I'm talking to Castiel. And because I just want to make Jensen Ackles so jealous.
I mean, doesn't he just talk to Misha Collins?
Yeah, but he could talk to two of them. But he only has one and you're the other one.
Right. Listen, I'm not one of these Destiel people, alright?
Alright, who do you ship?
I'm not a big shipping guy. I just let who belongs, the whoever ends up together in the piece of media, I just let them be. The only exception is I could see Katara and Zuko being together in Avatar. That's the only exception.
Okay. Could I pay you to ship him with someone? Okay, that's a hard limit. I won't cross your boundaries.
Not much of a writer.
We are boundary centric in this community. All right, so we'll get back to that another time. Thank you
for indulging me. So what's coming up in the future, Drew?
More Castiel.
Oh, God.
Okay. So we have some things coming up. We're just going to touch on a few things kind of quickly here because I don't have a whole big thing prepared, but I know some stuff that's happening. So let me recompose myself. I'm at like 10%, but that's fine. New additions to the community website. So I mentioned before that I did the web stream where we're going to have promo images and concept art coming to the website. This will be a like comprehensive collection, you know, general, you look for LED concept art on the web, you're going to get random spatterings of it either on the old wiki or on old fan sites. They all have different collections, but we'll have a comprehensive collection of everything we know. And technically this stuff has already been available through the resource archive, which was on Google Drive, but a lot of that's being moved over to our web server now that we have a nice new better web server since the last few months. So we're going to take advantage of that and host this stuff directly ourselves. It's going to be really cool. Leaving only like collaborative text documents like spreadsheets and stuff on Google for now. And in addition to that, I haven't mentioned this yet, but I will be adding a list of known interviews as well.
Oh.
Now, for this, it's going to be a little different because I want to make sure that I get permission before I write out all of the transcript and stuff. I also did this for the Hydro Thunder community, where I looked for all the interviews I could. Not done with that yet, but I've already gotten like 4 or 5, and I got permission from just about everybody so far to write my own transcripts. It's really cool. So in any cases where we don't get permission, I'll just link out to that site directly, and you can read it on like RPG Fan or whatever website. But if those sites ever go down, I do have like a local copy stored and backed up just in case, so it doesn't get lost, and then I will archive it automatically. But any live sites, I want to get their permission first.
Cool. What kind of interviews are there? Like we mentioned Dart's voice actor earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what other developers or maybe cast interviews exist?
Yeah, so the one with John Butterfield, the voice of Dart, that one was really special because it was actually like a video interview. Yeah. Like, there's video footage of an LOD voice actor existing in the real world. It is so trippy. Like, it wasn't an in-person one. I think it was like during the pandemic, but still, right. Like, a small window into the world of John Butterfield. It was a really nice listen. He misremembered one of his lines. He thought one of his additions was Flaming Rush, so obviously we have to mod that into the game in his honor. I mean, love...
It was one day 24 years ago. Do you expect exactly. The guy to remember everything?
Yeah, I've said that myself. So that's a really long one. There are other ones that were just text-based to begin with, like the old ones on RPG Fan. Not a lot of juicy stuff necessarily there, but there was, I think, that was where the proof was that Rose's hair was going to be green at one point with the anime focus. There's another interview in the Taiwanese Mandarin Guidebook that talks about the sequel, which is where they confirmed that it would actually be a prequel. They just didn't know to call it a prequel at the time. He said he wanted to focus on the history instead. I think that was Yasuyuki Hasebe.
Yeah, that hurts. That really hurts.
But at least we know yeah. It was going to be the Dragon campaign, and I just, it was in pre-production, so I have to wonder if there was just a single piece of art that survived that I could save for us. I will do that if I can.
That would be nice. It's such a shame it never came to fruition.
There was also an interview more recently where Stephanie, who at the time went by Die Hard Dragoon on Twitter, was a journalist for The Gamer and then VG Kami, got an interview with David Babich, I want to say. I'm not fully confident. I think it was David Babich who voiced, I believe it was Albert and Melbu Frama, maybe?
Okay.
And I actually...
Yeah, poor Melbu doesn't have a whole lot of lines, but yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of lines, no, but they're pretty iconic. Interestingly, there's a difference between the North American and the Japanese release, where in Japan, his voice got like a voice modulation effect where he sounded like he had a lot of like reverb or echo or something. And in North America, okay. It was just a regular voice. So he could have sounded a lot different.
Well, I mean, what do you expect from a guy named Merv?
Yeah, Merv from the party Dirt et al. From the Bad Machine translation. But on the interviews, yeah. I have contact with Stephanie, so I could at least easily ask for permission for that interview to be transcribed on our site, which even the ones that I transcribe will still link back to the original source as well. Okay, all the other upcoming stuff, and then the outros. So we're already at an hour and 16 minutes. We've breached the 1 hour 8 minute threshold. Oops, next time. The last two episodes, I think, were both an hour and 8 minutes. Can you believe it? I'll just have to like cut out 8 minutes of what we said. Oh well.
Well, if we stop at 1 hour and 28 minutes. It'll be an hour. No, never mind.
You mean an hour 48.
Cut that part.
An hour 48 will be 108 minutes. But yeah. I don't think we'll be going that long. So there are a wave of secrets. Secret number one, there will be a surprise coming in less than a week. Y'all will not see it coming. And Nova, I think you will like it quite a bit.
I look forward to whatever it might be.
Yes, you do. Oh. You see, I knew it. I was right.
If I don't like it, you're going to be in trouble.
I will not be in trouble. I promise. Secret number two, I am saying virtually nothing about this. Technically, I have like a one-word note, but Nova does not know what it means. There is no context.
That's true. Can I say what it is or no?
Okay. No. Secret number three, I believe I found a new type of merch or promo item. I just bought it. I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point in terms of like things that are undiscovered. Like there's not much left to find. It'll be harder and harder to find what little is still out there. But I found this just showed up and I bought it. And it's going to be here at some point soonish and then I will reveal what it is. It's about the size of a modern cell phone, I guess, roughly.
Okay.
So we'll see what it is.
It's a rectangle. I bet it's a rectangle.
In my defense, I'm not 100% sure what it is myself. It looked official, so I bought it. All right. Now that we're done talking about the secrets that we hardly talked about, the April schedule. So this is just tentative, subject to change. We have various live streams. As usual, there will be almost every Wednesday the Severed Chains dev streams where Monoxide changes things up and explores new stuff, which is away from the usual work on Severed Chains, which will be the current major release, the graphics overhaul and all that. Also have some web/archive streams going, and we'll see if we do anything else. What else do we have? Severed Chains Rec Build 3, that is inching closer. I don't think that'll make an April release. We'll see how things go. Eventually, we'll be tapering things off, though, because it's mostly just bug fixes at this point and a small update to the menu, so it doesn't look like junk. LED menu is great, but like the text is super cramped, and we want to make it be more, you know, readable and have room for the custom settings we're gonna have.
Yeah, I do like the way it's laid out now, and I like the way you wrote that last point, because the way I read it was that the rec build is 3 inches closer.
No. So I wrote in the outline, Severed Chains : rec build 3 inches closer. Yeah, that's a good point. It is inches closer than it was before, whenever you classify before as. Does it have arms? Can it crawl? Is it crawling closer?
Well, if it's getting one step closer to the edge and it's crawling there, we're working our way towards a Linkin Park album, so I'm here for it.
You know, in order to maintain consistency, I think Severed Chains just needs to be an inchworm.
Yes.
So an inch closer?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I think that's a win. We're going to go all with right. that.
Severed Chains is an inchworm that sounds like a Linkin Park album.
Hey, how many games are getting reverse engineered in the form of an inchworm? Honestly, that's pretty big boasting, I would
say.
Can
you play Doom on an inchworm?
You thought a Raspberry Pi was powerful. Okay, more music mixes will be coming whenever there is time and availability for those fan musicians. I'm hoping we can attract more and more fan musicians so it's easier to do more of these events. We've talked about a few theme ideas. I'm going to click on a thing. The options were just a mix of new songs. Some of the remixes that we picked for the Feelings mix were not new. So one of the mutators, if we will, could just be that they all have to be new songs. It can just be a generic collection of remixes. It can also be, I was kind of feeling like an energy mix, which isn't necessarily a specific genre, just stuff that might be high energy, like higher energy.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Higher energy rock, dance, so on and so forth. A towns mix, which is just focused on town themes. That could be really fun, I think. And I also said that people could pitch their own ideas. We don't have a lot of responses yet, but hopefully we'll get more. Because I know I want to do a lot more of these. Like, I need an EDM club mix so bad. It's really just for me.
It's for you and Meru.
Like, we mostly, most of the remixes and covers and stuff are rock. And I'm okay with rock. Sometimes it sounds really good to me. But I would like to hear other stuff. Like, more. We've got some really cool remixes just randomly happened to come out. Like, there was this, like, trance club mix that was posted on Newgrounds, of all places. That's how I had to find it.
Is Newgrounds still a thing?
It's still a thing, and people post music mixes there. Because apparently they need to do something else besides Flash videos now, because Flash is no longer a thing.
That is true.
There was this really great jazz fusion mix of the menu theme by Miriba on YouTube. That was really, really cool. I still love that.
I mean, what can you even do to the menu theme, though? Like, it's already 10 out of 10.
Yeah. But that's why Mariba's version is an 11.
All right, I'll have to give that a listen.
And then, yeah, there's just so many. I'll go off on a big tangent, but I won't. So, yeah, hopefully more music mixes will be coming. And then, I forgot to mention that I would like to see a lo-fi mix as well. Lo-fi got kind of popular over the pandemic, and there are some lo-fi tracks of LOD music, but I would like us to come together and have, like, multiple musicians collab to make, like, a 1 to 3 hour lo-fi mix that we could, you know, loop on a 24/7 radio or something like that. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, you got like a Dragoon and Chill thing kind of going on.
Yeah, sure. There's already a GIF of there's a GIF of this femme character playing Legend of Dragoon in like a spaceship or something.
Oh yes, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can do something like that. Like, it could literally be footage of someone playing for 3 hours, just shrunk down into, like, a little spot where the TV would be, like a really realistic thing, if we wanted to.
Yeah, listen, if I have to play Legend of Dragoon for 3 hours to make this GIF happen, I think I can make that sacrifice.
Hey, GIF, let's be neutral here.
You can compromise, I won't.
GIFs. Short for God, it's Friday.
It
will be tomorrow.
It's Thursday.
Depending on your time zone, it's Friday.
That's fair, yes.
All right. So then the last thing upcoming, another podcast. Goal is within 2 months. Definitely not 18 months would be my goal.
Did you have kind of like a short list of people you wanted to have on? Or
yeah, I have a list.
Yeah, that's good.
It just varies based on who ends up responding or what might seem like a good subject to focus on for the current month. Like the last one, I felt like it was a really good time to talk about speedrunning because they had recently uncovered a new shorter route so that instead of just playing through the entire game, skips were now possible, although difficult, reducing the run from like 10 hours and 30 minutes down to like a couple hours, which is actually more feasible for people.
Yeah, because the 10 and a half hour, I think that's something like you got to hit well over 200% on magic items very consistently.
Yeah. it's pretty much just constant item magic over and over again. And unless you have a turbo controller, it's really hard. There's a turbo and non-turbo categories as well, so you can...
Yeah, I watched the most recent kind of, I don't know, documentary, mm-hmm. I guess, on speedrunning. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be even more awesome content being made about the stuff going on in the LOD community. We'll be doing some of it, but it's great to see. I think it was Dr. Swellman and others cover stuff like that.
Cool. And I mean, hey, Sever Chains is going to make the game go even faster because there's no load times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We quick note that I really want to help speedrumming. Drink rum.
Well, if you insist.
Speed rumming, that's the new one. Has anyone invented that yet? Can I coin that? What was I saying? To help make speed running more accessible. So for one, Severed Chains will have the shorter load times. That'll like most of the speed run of LOD is like waiting for text boxes to finish and like waiting to get control of your character again to move forward. So it's mostly just watching, not actually playing. And that can really help cut down the time with the reduced load times and our built-in features for fast tech speed automatically. Normally, you have to hold the cross button for fast tech speed, and it's kind of not that feasible because then you have to like let go of X and or let go of cross and press it again to clear that box and get the next text box. As well as the feature we have for auto-advancing text, which clears the text boxes for you. You don't have to press cross at all. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's very, very immediate to the point where you open a chest and you have no idea what item
it is. Unfortunately, it applies to chests as well, but we'll see if Monoxide is up for making a delay for those or if there's a way to omit that. But anyway, that and also making it so that you could just... pick a section, and let's say I just want to do up to Helena 2, and then you could just do that, and then you played for like you know an hour and something or whatever, and that was it. That way,
yeah, because you only want to play until right before your heart gets broken, yeah, and then that's enough.
I was not gonna say that, but yes.
Crisis alert.
So, but also not just for the game itself, but also for mini games. There's the obstacle course, which has horrible collision, in my opinion. But
oh my god, horrible collision doesn't even begin to describe it.
We could have leaderboards for that, you know. Yeah. And it's not just speed running, but we could have leaderboards for dodgeball high scores, the Julian Vegetable mini game. You know, I want to really go on all out with these leaderboards and make even more use of our web server, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there'll be all kinds of stuff we can do.
The unfortunate thing about the mini games is that there is a ceiling, right? Like there's a point where someone will get the best score and you won't be able to get any better.
Sort of. I mean, that's how speedruns go. Eventually, it gets harder and harder to beat somebody's world record when it gets closer to, like, the lowest possible time, the best possible RNG outcomes with the abilities and everything. So, eventually, it may get harder. But I think there'll be, especially with the minigames, a lot of competition for many years to come.
Yeah. I see the obstacle course, especially with fixed hitboxes. I see that capping out relatively quickly because I finished that minigame for the first time like last year, and I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
So I can see that being a popular one for people who either haven't completed it or are very angry at it.
Well, to be like,
I want to do this as fast as dragoonly possible.
The nice thing about it, too, is we're going to be creating new mini-games, like making the ability for people to create new mini-games, at least. And I would love to help design them If I can get someone to help me code them, that would be great. Like having a obstacle course that doesn't suck, that is longer than... if you actually succeed the obstacle course, it only takes a couple seconds to get through it. Like, what about, yeah, like a proper obstacle course that takes like a minute or two, you know? Like, there's hardly anything to that one. We got to flesh that out.
All right, hear me out. Procedurally generated obstacle course battle royale.
Oh, no. I mean, I was with you on Proc Gen, but I'm not with you on battle royale. That's, I can't.
Put it in the roadmap. Let's go.
The roadmap is so long. We have a long wish list for those who don't know, and we're not going to promise to do all of them, but we do plan to at least try explore some of those. And it's already a very long list, so we don't need to add too many more.
I mean, it's basically just Fall Guys with Legend of Dragoon characters.
Look, we're already giving you PvP. You don't need any more. New characters, new additions, new abilities in general, new battlefields, new music, like fan music in the game that loops properly, like all the different things are going to be there. You don't need any more.
Have you ever heard a story about a mouse who got a cookie?
I missed that episode of Tom and Jerry. I don't know what anyway. This is about.
Oh, you actually don't?
To quote Castiel, I don't understand that reference.
Oh, well, the gist of it is if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want some milk. And then it goes more and more and more until this mouse just, like, wants the world, basically.
I have to eat dinner after this, and now I want cookies and milk.
You know what? There's value in that.
At least it's going to be a really great dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to the outro, which is just me saying our usual outro stuff and a plug for Nova if he wants. So... we're always looking for help with various projects and tasks, from translation to wiki editing to info hunting and modding. You can even help just by donating money to help us justify more time to curate this stuff or to accelerate our speed on Severed Chains. So to get involved and learn more, visit our Discord server at discord.gg/legendofdragoon. And speaking of the Discord server, come chat with the community and see all the cool stuff in development. And now, Nova Dragoon, this is your time to promote any links or what you're working on.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to say more. So I have a Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/NovaDragoonTTV. Sometimes I play video games, and I try to be entertaining. So if you like mild entertainment, come give me a watch. We'll have some fun.
Not spicy entertainment, just mild?
My community is more spicy than I am.
Okay, that's good. So you can go there and get both.
Yeah, you get spice and you get me trying to contain the spice.
Spoken like a true spice lord.
A true spice lord.
So how long until you change your name to Spice Dragoon?
Probably never. I really like this name.
Castiel Dragoon?
Even less.
Dragustiel?
Why are we getting geese involved?
I didn't even mean for the goose. That was just
no
was
one
just
ever
there.
Means for the goose.
I was trying to merge Dragoon and Castiel, whatever. I'm all mixed up.
What's good for the Dragoose is good for the Dragander.
Yeah, I remember to say after Pelpy that we also got the ability to walk around as a goose on the world map, because that's a thing that
no,
is possible.
No, you didn't. What?
You can walk around as a goose, I swear to you.
Where did you even get a goose?
There's a goose in Legend of Dragoon. It's also probably connected to the whole... There's a conspiracy about duck planters, and this might be part of that.
Okay, I know that, but where's the goose?
The goose is in Lohan.
Lohan's a big place.
Yes, it is.
Oh, the big bird?
No, not the big bird. That is not accessible otherwise. It's just, sadly, a texture. We all want to know about the big bird, but we'll only ever learn more about that on Sesame Street, unfortunately. But the goose, unlike the ducks, is a 3D model. And the goose is only present, like, the first time you show up in Lohan. I think it's when you show up and Dart is holding Shauna in his arms, and then he runs off. That's like a specific scene, so there can be different NPCs present. Kind of like in the demo when you go to Bale, there's a different set of NPCs, even including Dart as a kid, as adult Dart looks on.
Wait, you're telling me these scenes choose NPCs at random?
No, they're just specific NPCs. Like, they're different from when you're normally there.
Okay.
They can be different in the cutscene than when you're normally there. You know, just like if you're in Fernie and you're seeing the cutscene with, like, all the, like, Drake and Bulgus cutouts and whatever, or Gorgaga, yeah. Whatever, and then they're gone when you can actually move around as Dart, they, you know, different plot flags fire and then different NPCs are present. So anyway, the goose is only there very, very briefly. It's super easy to miss, and its wings seem to, like, flap in reverse. So you think of how a goose normally flaps its wings. These wings are, like, in reverse. They're anchored in the back, and they flap forward instead.
Flapping in reverse is one of my favorite bands.
I thought that was going to be a different thing that you said. I thought you were going to say flapping in reverse is one of my favorite things to do.
No, I don't tend to flap.
I mean, I wouldn't believe it since you say you're a dragoon, so you must have wings.
Only sometimes.
Okay, so anyway, yes, there is a goose, and you will theoretically be able to play as a goose in Legend of Dragoose.
All right, Untitled Dragoose game, let's go.
Yes, I said that before. I hope it catches on. We're only 10 minutes away from the hour and 108 minutes mark, so do we want to just BS for 10 minutes? I kind of want to say no.
I mean, I can talk forever, but, you know.
Well, I would love that, especially since you sound like Castiel, but I don't know if everyone else will be on board with me on that.
We probably shouldn't keep people here too long.
It's Nova Dragoon and Castiel fans talk. A new series. We'll have to do a different channel.
I will answer all your supernatural questions, but incorrectly, because I know very little about the series.
That would be such a great series, and then we could share it to Misha Collins, and he would love it. Okay, write that down. That's a million-dollar idea. I need a job.
It's really not.
Okay, so that's all for Podcast 5, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I thought it would take a little less time, but apparently we had too much fun, so hopefully you all enjoyed it as much as we did. We'll see you next time with more news from the global Legend of Dragoon community. And bye-bye for now.
Bye.
You going to say bye?
I did say it, but it was very, very quiet, so it might not have picked up. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Hopefully I didn't annoy the crap out of you too much. And Drew, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now say it again like Castiel.
Drew, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye.